Exploring our community, one conversation at a time. This is the Black and Irish Podcast.
The underground scene as well is very, very good. And once, like, the quality of music in Ireland, like, that people don't even know about is the craziest part to me.
I'm Leon Jopp, and this time we're chatting with Shaq and Dams. Gentlemen, welcome to the Black and Irish Podcast. How are we both keeping today?
Very good. Thank you for having us.
I'm beautiful. Thank you again for having us.
You are beautiful. You're a beautiful person all around.
Thank you, bro.
So I'm on the podcast today with Shaq and Dams. Shaq, you're a rapper coming out of Mullingar.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about how you became a rapper.
I first started writing music when I was about 16, back in secondary school, me and my boy Tito. Just go to his house every day after school, after junior cert. We were writing bars there for hours at a time, just rapping. Obviously, we weren't taking it very seriously, but like, we're still getting to the process of writing and writing more and more. And then when I got to college, I finally got to college then, I met actually Dams through a mutual friend. His name's EP. I met up with Dams, went to one move together, like 6, 7, 8 of us. And then from there, it was just stuck.
Hit it off.
It just, you get me?
Yeah.
Friends, that's it. And Dams, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're hailing from the sticks out in Swords. how do you find that?
So it's just quiet, it's calm. Swords is actually a very, very calm place. But I've been doing music management for about two years now, and it's been really fun. It's allowed me to explore a creative side of me that I didn't, that I really wanted to explore for a long time. And I met Shaq again through a mutual friend, my boy EP, and then from there, like, I seen he was making music. We decided to go studio one of the days, and then from there, like, we hit it off.
I see you've been doing some shows recently and stuff like that. That's really cool. I want to jump back a little bit further then, talk about your bringing in Mullingar, what that was like for you.
Growing up in Mullingar as a black person, it was actually really good for me, in my opinion anyways, because obviously it's not like other places where, like, there was a very big minority. Obviously, we were a minority at the time, but we were all a good, strong community. And we just started growing. More people started coming into Mullingar. Early days, like, I'd say a quarter of my class was black. And everybody just gelled well. So, like, growing up, it was pretty nice living up in Mullingar. Obviously, every town has their negatives as well. But overall, yeah, Mullingar was a nice place to grow up.
Was that similar in Swords? What was it like for you?
Actually, I grew up in Balbriggan. So Balbriggan, like, there was a good amount of black people. So, like, we were all, like, really close. And then in my primary school, secondary school, we were a good few of us. So, like, we were all really calm. Back then, I used to play football as well. So the guys on my team, a good few of us were black. So, like, it was just always grand. Then obviously you do go to your hiccups with, like, racism and, like, just like things like that. But, like, everything was really calm, to be fair.
Something I only found out recently, like, Balbriggan is, like, the most diverse town in Ireland, if I'm not mistaken. And it's also the second youngest town in Europe.
Second youngest,
as in, like, town. The population of the town is quite young in terms of average age, like, do you know what I mean? So, the second youngest town. So, like, you can only imagine how kind of, like, budding of a place that is going to be. Like, and I know that they've been building a new, they've been reconstructing the Lark out there.
Yeah,
which is going to be great for the community and stuff.
There's a lot of upcoming talent coming from Balbriggan.
Yeah.
Like, my guys at Santana's, like, themselves, they're doing a lot of work in the underground scene. So, like, keep an eye out for them.
Yeah.
And then there's a new music center in Balbriggan.
Yeah,
that's the boys have been doing some work in there, and people like Soleil, she's I found out recently that she's from Balbriggan as well, so, like, that's crazy. Like, there's a lot of talent, and when you mentioned that it's the most diverse town, I wasn't really surprised, because growing up you would see, like, all different types of people, all different types of ethnic groups in Balbriggan, so doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah. Let's jump into then your music, Shaq. Tell us about your music, what kind of music you're trying to create, what you're trying to get across to your fans. Is there a particular message or anything like that that you want to get across to your fans?
Yeah, of course there is a particular message. My particular message, I mean, there's a message in every song that I put out, really. Like, one thing about me, I don't just write for the sake of writing. like what I write has meaning behind it. So in every bar and every lyric, I be trying to portray a message. It could be stay true to yourself. It could be being real to the people that are real to you, standing on your morals, so many things like that.
Do you feel like the kind of support is there? Do you feel like there's enough role models that you could look up to? Or do you feel like this is something that you're going to have to take to another country or abroad, for example?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that Ireland has the framework and has everything you need to make it from here. If you put the work in, you have a plan. Every day, everything that you do is taking you one step closer to your goal, then you're going to get there in the end. And Ireland definitely has that. It's got talent, it's got producers, it's got engineers, it's got radio guys like yourself, it's got everything, more than enough.
Tell us then a little bit about your creative process. So tell us a little bit about that. How do you go from conceptualization to end product?
So for me, one thing I love to do for that is literally just thinking, just sitting to myself, being to myself. I be in my quiet space, I have a little space in my room where I be doing all my writing. I just sit there and I just think about what I'm feeling. I think about what's on my mind, what I'm going through, how I can portray that in different meanings. And then once I have like a thought, like a, let's say I want to make a song about, like I said before, staying true to yourself, then I'll start the writing process. I'll start writing down lines. I'll start thinking of, because I know what to say, but the thing for me and the way that I write is I just try and flip it in a completely different way that people can actually learn something from. So saying a different line, using this many syllables here instead of using that many syllables. You're saying a word this way instead of that way, just to get a different, so all of that kind of stuff. But then once I get it down into a page or even on my phone, from then it's just rapping it, repeating, getting the lines into my head, feeling comfortably actually like performing the song in my room. So when I go to the studio, it's second nature.
Well, I suppose you're the music manager here. Tell us, where do you come into this picture, helping an artist?
One thing that I made very evident when me and Shaq started this this partnership was that there's principles that you need to follow, and there's things that you always need to uphold yourself to continue to grow and be better as an artist. As he said, he goes through his lyrics, he goes through his bars, and he practices them to a place where he's comfortable. So when he gets to the studio, he's able to do that. I always said to my artists, whoever I was bringing to the studio at the time, that three tracks minimum. So when you get there, you're able to spit them out. There's no place where I bring Shaq to that I know that he doesn't take time to do songs in the booth. 10 minutes, he's in and he's out. And it's not like, oh, he's messing up his takes. No, two takes, three takes, he's done. Why? Because he's putting the work in before we got there. I've always made sure to say to my artists, you must be able to put the work in at home before I bring you to the studio. Because when we get to the studio, we're there for business, we're there to work. And also, obviously, we're there to have fun. But at the main is to grow and to be able to do your work. And then from there, we just keep on excelling.
Brilliant. Kind of putting you on the spot here, I'm going to pepper you with this question, but how have you seen Shaq develop as an artist now over the last couple of years?
His sound is more refined, and his ability to write and to be a writer has been redefined as well. Like his tone of voice, his presence, his just flow, his cadence, everything just has grown just a thousandfold, because like if you listen to the tracks that we were making at the start to the tracks now, there's a huge difference, and the difference is only growing and growing. Like when we start to do more performances, when we're doing live performances, festival shows, like people will see that this is not just something, like people will be able to see the journey. This is not just something that happened overnight. We put in the groundwork. We put in 1,000 hours to be here, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that would dream to be here, but they don't want to put in the work. We're putting in the work, and we have the plans, and we want to excel, because we know the talent that lies there.
Like, I've seen different people come onto this podcast who were either artists or they were managers. Like we've had Sappho on in the past, we've had music artists on in the past. We haven't had them on together though, so it is really interesting to see that dynamic. So I want to put the question to the two of you: how important is it to have the right team around you that are going to excel, not only for the artists that have the managers, but for the managers that have the right artists? So I suppose that can go out to the two years. You can take it whichever way you like.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I'll take on the spin of the artist having the right team. Your team is everything. Like, as much talent as you have, one, if you don't put the hard work in, it's not going to amount to much. Second of all, you have to have the right people that share the same goal that you have. See, you can have a great manager, but he's trying to take you in one path and you're trying to take yourself in a different path. So it's never really going to work. Also, in terms of like, it takes a lot of trust as well. Like, trust is a big thing. Like, for me anyways, the people that manage me, he's my friend, people that I engineer with, a lot of them, I know these people. I know a lot of creative people. So that's how I build a team around me. And then just making sure that the people in your team are doing the same shit that you're trying to do.
And like, I say this to a lot of people when they ask me, sometimes people may ask me, me about management, or can I help them with management? I say to them that like, it's very important you choose wisely who manages you, because as he said, like, your goals may be different, and if your goals don't align or you're not the right fit for that person, then it won't work. And it takes time to maybe find out whether the partnership will work or won't work. And you don't rush things. Just allow things to go on its natural course. And if things align and if your goals and your visions are equal, then everything will be fine. But if you don't have the right people around you to show you the way, or if people are trying to push you off the course that you need to be on, then you're gonna fall off, and nobody really wants to fall off. Yeah.
No, that's fair. Do you have to do much study in your role as an artist and in your role as a manager over the last few years, over time, and not try and emulate it, but learn from it?
Knowledge is key. Like, you do have to study to gain more knowledge. You don't necessarily have to like emulate them, but you do have to study what they're doing, because at the end of the day, that's how you grow. If you're not studying, if you're not looking for ways to consume more knowledge, if you're not looking at certain people to try gain certain knowledge, then you won't really grow. Like, you shared with me a guy, and I was listening to him the other day, and I was like, things like your brand and how you brand yourself as a person and how you want people to see you are very, very important. So just in things like that,
and also very important. Also, like, taking on the spin of learning from other people's mistakes, because, you know, obviously if you're looking at other people, you're keeping a watch out. You're seeing how somebody, they could have done something better. You don't have to go through that yourself. Yeah. You already seen it secondhand. So there's that, obviously. And yeah, a lot of study, like, even in terms of me and my writing. Like, before, yeah, I've always knew I had a talent for rapping, but I was literally, all the songs I made up to now has just been just me, just from my head, just rapping, like, effortlessly. But then recently I started, like, reading. There's a lot of great books for reading, for music. There's one book I'm reading right now called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Like, right. Amazing books there that teach you about your creative process, that teach you about all these things. So, like, the more knowledge you have, the better.
Where do you want to see your music take you?
Me personally, I know my music is going to take me to the top. Like, in the next 5 years, that might even be... My plan is hopefully less than that time, but in the next 5 years, I'll be doing mad things with my music. My music is going to take me everywhere. It's going to help me provide for my family. It's going to get me through. It's going to do everything for me. Because that's my passion.
And Dams, what about yourself?
Yeah, you know I was going to mention that to you. But in the next 5 years, like, it's gonna be a roller coaster of a journey. But we know, hopefully sooner than later, that like, everyone's gonna know. Like, you're gonna hear Shaq's music on the radio. You're gonna see him in shows. You're gonna see him out. And then for myself as well, the brand is just gonna continue growing, and like, we're gonna be able to do this as a daily living, because music is our passion. Music is like it's our joy. And just to be able to be in meetings, be in rooms, just speaking to brands, speaking to people who are high up with influence, like, that's something that I really want to do. I've always been a people's person. I've always been a person that likes to engage in conversations. And
that is business. True, because I don't know anyone that knows as many people as you know.
The network is extensive.
Can't go anywhere.
Can't walk down the street. Stop and somebody stopping down and saying, what's up?
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, I know you.
We hopefully plan on dropping EP or mixtape before the end of the year. So just things like that. And then even while I was at the Where's Your Head At live show, I was speaking to some people, and I grabbed some information so that whenever we do that, we can have the listening party. People are, you know, all invited down to the listening party. But yeah, it's just things like that.
Okay, I want a 30-second analysis from the 2 years as to where you think the rap scene in Ireland is at the moment.
I would say it's budding in terms of like just there's a lot of rappers that are really, really taking off right now. So like obviously you have the guys, the Gliders, they went number two. Guys like Jay Yellow as well, dropped in Shades of Yellow. He just had a concert there in the UK. Obviously Cello, he's doing crazy things. Like there's a lot of pathway. Then if you look at like Khaki Kid as well, him and Brick Nasty, they're doing a lot. In terms of pushing Irish music as well, and then Monjola, so like there's a lot of artists that are doing a lot right now. So it's a thing of where like there is a space for people to come in terms of like people will listen to us, and they have shown that people will listen to the type of music that we are bringing.
Do you think we can break from Ireland?
Yes, most definitely. The talent is there. The music, and this is good quality music that's coming out of Ireland. So we can most definitely break from Ireland and expand, because Ireland is the market in Ireland is only so big, and there will come a point where we do exceed Ireland, but it's not a bad thing because it shows that you are growing, and from there you can go on. You go to France, the UK, Spain. Like you will grow.
Personally, I think like the Irish scene it's gone. Yeah. It's in a better state than it was over the last like 2-3, in my opinion. Like there's a lot of people like you're saying that are blowing up now. Gliders, Jafaris is back, JLOL, Cello, there's loads of names, loads of people I'm even forgetting to name. But so we already have like the people that are pushing the charts, that are getting into the charts consistently. And then on the underground scene as well is very, very good. And once like the quality of music in Ireland, like that people don't even know about, is the crazier part to me.
Oh, and definitely.
One thing that I would say that I'm even victim to myself is just not putting out music, just not dropping, just consistency. Consistency is key. Yeah. And for a lot of artists like myself back in the past, like over the last like year or so, like consistency was the problem where you're not dropping tracks. So obviously how are people going to know about you?
Yeah.
But once those artists tackle that, Ireland has massive potential.
So you're saying that we need to get people from the underground into kind of more mainstream, and the way that we're going to do that. Okay.
Just the underground people, they just need to drop more.
Okay.
Like there's mainstream people that are in, like you have your mainstream people that are pushing the charts, they're doing the big shows. And there's the other scene, the underground scene, people that who aren't as known, who aren't really with that stuff, not even with that, but you know, they're just doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And those artists, from what I've seen, and I know a lot of those artists, they have great music, quality music, but it's just not coming out. Or if it is coming out, it's not coming out with the right promotion. It's not coming out with the right team.
Right. And that's, you see, I suppose that's where I'm trying to get to. Are we going to be able to get underground artists then into the likes of the Tree Arena if they don't have that kind of mainstream prowess or kind of backing behind them?
It's always a weird thing because like we're underground artists. Like you want to remain underground, but you don't want to be remain underground. You want to have like your core fan group, you want to have your core fan base, but at the same time, like there will come to a stage where you're no longer underground, that like people are really starting to take a light and I notice of you. So like it's weird. Like what do you call yourself at the end of the day? Like, cause again, if you do start to catch on that flame, if you do start to catch on that fire, like what are you now type thing. But like at the end of the day, like if they do start being consistent and they do start catching on that flame, maybe you can see them in the likes of like the Olympia, the Tree Arena.
Yeah. Do we think the underground scene needs to change, or should it stay the same? It
doesn't need to change. I feel like the people in the underground scene, maybe, I would consider myself in the underground scene right now as well.
Right.
Like, so we need to change the way we're thinking about this whole, our whole dropping process, our whole like releasing process, because the creative process that's a formality.
Yeah.
It's the process of getting the music out there that we need to actually get better at. Well, I need to get better at personally. I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, no. To be honest, I see what you're saying, and I'm thinking of other artists who would be in a similar boat, who are going through the same issues, and I'm screaming at them to just release music. Do you know what I mean? But they're saying to me something similar to what you're saying, is that it's not that simple. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's not.
And I think it's maybe because I'm looking at it through a different lens as a content creator. I can just record a video, and even if I look like crap, I can just throw it up. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. Be like, yeah, okay, that's it. That's what I look like, fine, you know, and just post it. But I think for underground creatives, it's a bit more difficult because distribution then comes into it. As you can tell, this is something that I know very little about. So I said the word distribution like I knew exactly what I was talking about. I don't have a clue. That raises something that I've kind of seen in the community. It's that mindset of, I need to do this all on my own for this to have any sort of meaning to it, which is so bizarre because of, like, I look at other kind of organizations now that are doing well. Like when I look at Gliders, they're a collective of people. Like they're a number of different people that are coming with a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different strengths that can further everybody else. And I think that is something that we really need to challenge within the music scene. Like maybe not just in the music scene, in the creative scene.
In general,
it's something that really worries me because we will begin to plateau. We are rising, and I think it's good that the creative scene in Ireland is doing great things, but we will very quickly see that stop. And unfortunately, I am seeing a little bit of a plateau. I don't think it's exponentially grown any further than what it has. Like, do you know what I mean? When you think of 2022, we had the same amount of artists doing Longitude. We haven't seen anyone really break further from that. I know we saw Monjola actually do something quite good with the likes of Kid Cudi and stuff. But outside of that, it's still within the realm of
the same people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's the first piece. The second piece then is, I feel like we're in this mindset of competition rather than collaboration.
Yeah.
And that really irks me. It blows my mind that people are still saying to themselves, okay, here's someone who's trying to do what I'm doing. They have an audience. I have an audience. Rather than us working together so that we can share each other's audience and they can grow and I can grow from them, it's no, I'm not working with them because they're trying to do the same thing as I'm doing and I want to blow before them. That mentality, it's you know what it's called? The crabs in the barrel mentality.
Crabs in the bucket.
Rather than pushing someone out so that they can pull you up, it's like, no, I'm going to grab their legs, I'm going to pull them back down. Do you know what I mean? Into this bucket. And that for me is devastating because I think if we shifted that mentality to collaboration rather than competition, I think our creative scene in Ireland would be a lot further. Like, I'd love to hear from an artist perspective then, like, are you kind of sitting there saying, I'm not working with them, screw those guys? Or are you saying to yourself, okay, well, I see what they're doing. Let's see what they're doing.
See, the thing for me, I have no qualms with collaboration at all. I encourage collaboration. I think that coming from a mindset of competition, like, you should be in your lane, doing your path, whatever anybody else doing, like, let them grind to their goals in peace. Why are you worried about them? In terms of me collaborating with people, the only thing that would stop me from having a collaboration is if me personally, I don't feel myself on the beat.
Right.
Like, I can look at everybody's music, I just take it in subjectively, like unbiasedly. And if I just don't feel myself on the beat, then I probably won't do it. But as long as, like, if that beat is hard, I don't care who it is.
Super. Like, are there any artists that you'd like to see yourself work with?
Oh yeah, loads.
Let's look at Ireland first and then
UK. 100%. Jafaris, Joe Vinci, Snowy Santana, Dubzino definitely,
yeah.
JLOL, there's loads of names, loads of talented creators out here.
100%. And then, like, would there be any in the UK that you'd love to get a hold of and say, listen, let's just do this one song?
Definitely cool. Part of Paper, definitely yeah. Chip, 100% Chip.
Nice.
Anybody else other than that? 100%.
I think Nines would be
Nina.
Yeah, 100%. So there's some really good coming out of the community in terms of the talent is there in the creative scene at the moment. It's absolutely there.
Mm. Yeah.
But we have these two issues of, I feel like I need to do it myself and I need to compete. which I think we need to overcome. And hopefully this message will get out to a few people and make them say, okay, maybe I have been doing it on my own. Maybe it's time that I build a team around me and try and work with other people. And, you know, rather than seeing myself as everyone else's competition. I heard a quote before, and it's like, competing against others makes you better. Competing against yourself makes you better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So rather, the only person that you should be trying to outwork or out-improve is out-improve. God, yeah, it's not happening today. The brain is not all there. Or the only person that you should be trying to improve or work on is yourself. We have a section now that I want to jump into. We got some questions from listeners, and thanks so much to everyone who sent in questions. I suppose the first question comes in: is Irish rap becoming saturated? Do you think that it's starting to become full, and that we don't have enough space for artists?
No.
Not
at all. No. We're not even close, in my opinion. There's too much space.
There's too much space?
There's too much space, and people aren't filling the spaces.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Definitely not full.
How are we going to fill the spaces?
Well, it's time to speak up and let people know that we're here. Do you know what I mean? Like, once like people start seeing the releases, they start hearing the music, they'll know that we're here. Do you know what I mean? And then from there, like, we'll start getting all these opportunities, will start busting through. Like, brands will start working with us. Like, people that you wouldn't even have thought of to approach you will start approaching you once they see that, you're approachable.
I would say, personally, it's a thing where, in the Irish scene, people just need to... How do I word this?
Politically. Because you want to work with people in the future.
No, because, like, I feel like... There, obviously, we talked about the mentality of there's crabs in the bucket.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like, obviously, there's distribution. There could be problems with distribution, like me and Dams went through. There could be problems with your team. But I feel like one of the main ones that people overlook is actually, like, their own personal mental barrier to, like, even how they look at writing and their creative process. Like, some people are actually creatively, like, they're blocked and they don't even know it. Right. And that could be, in turn, what could be leading to them not releasing. They might think that, okay, they make one song and then they'll make another song and they'll be comparing the two. They'll be trying to make the song as perfect as can be and they won't ever release the song. And they'll be the only person that hears that song throughout its whole existence and nobody else will hear it because they never dropped it.
Yeah, that's a tragedy. That for me, is a tragedy because I feel like there's a lot of people that have a lot of work that they could release that they're not. You know, and so you're saying, like, perfectionism.
That was one thing for me. Perfectionism was something that kept me from releasing, because I'll go to the studio, I'd make like 3-4 songs, I go home, then I continue writing, I come back, and those 3-4 songs, I'll listen to them, I compare them to the next 3-4 songs, and those 3-4 songs, even though they were great tracks in themselves, they never got released. They just get drowned down.
How do you overcome that?
By releasing.
That's
the only
by
way.
By just, like, you know, forcing it.
Not even forcing it.
Like, just bringing it out.
Yeah.
Just bringing it out. Because,
in a modern format.
Because at the end of the day, like, once you've gotten your sound and once you understand the music that you're trying to release, just release.
Yeah.
And just, like, everything will align. Because at the end of the day, like, the more music you have out there, the more people can see of you.
100%.
The more people can see of you, the more people start to notice you. The more people notice you, then you'll start to get the looks that you want to get. But even at that, we don't release music for the looks. We release music because the music is good and we know it's good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And, like, when people listen to it, they will understand the meaning and the message behind it.
That's some deep stuff right there, man. Damn. Bringing a tear to my eye. We've touched on some of the negatives in the community, like, as we've said, around the mindsets and stuff like that. But there is a lot out there to be positive about, I think, you know, in terms of the talent that we have in the community, in terms of the amount of people that we're beginning to see on stages, and the amount of people who are beginning to release music, and also the people that are beginning to return to that music sphere. So, how do you see that?
Nah, it's very good to see, because, like, now, like, a lot of names are getting the spotlight and are getting, like, sort of the recognition that they put the hard work in for. Like a Longitude, the Gliders got the if you saw the highlights when the Gliders were on set, yeah, like, you can see that, like,
yeah,
the community is growing, and, like, Irish artists are doing more festivals. A lot of artists are getting opportunities, and people like Sylvie Demay, she done for the Irish World Cup. She has a little segment on there with Canterbury.
Yeah.
So yeah, just things like that.
It's deadly. And like another thing that you actually did recently is Simba's Den, which is a really cool initiative from the producer and engineer Simba. Who owns Jungle Beam Studios, and he's running an initiative at the moment called Simba's Den, where he brings two artists in to rap on a beat, and you were up against Keems.
Yeah.
And you cooked on that. I'm not just saying because you're on the podcast. you did so well. So well done. That was serious.
Appreciate that.
How important are initiatives like that for you in the kind of creative scene?
100, they're very important. Like, I feel like there's even KTB from Reggie,
yeah.
The Simba's Den, there's obviously DFX to have the Rise of the Sesh. All those like kind of like freestyle platforms, initiatives, those are the things that can get artists, like they can get them started very quickly as long as they put in the work on them. I think we need more of them. We definitely need more of them. And Simba's Den is just one step in the right direction.
I think we've touched on, you know, some really important pieces in this conversation. I'm really glad that we had it, you know, obviously talking about your career, Shaq, and where it's going over the next few years, but also taking a broader look at the creative scene in Ireland and having that conversation about what kind of barriers we need to overcome and how we can do that together. Thanks a million, Dams and Shaq, for joining me in the studio today.
No problem, appreciate it. Thank 100%.
You. That's it for now on the Black and Irish podcast. To listen to our full catalogue of episodes, check out rte.ie/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. The series podcast coordinator for RTE is Paul Moriarty. I'm Leon Drop. Thanks for listening.